right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. The free stretch brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. And this is the week 11 edition. It's week 11, right? Because the Bucks are 3-6, plus they had a bye week. Plus we've got this week, week 11. And as we get set to play the New York Giants on the road on Sunday, the game is but a mere backdrop at this point to the real things that are happening or not happening right now that are going to determine the future of the franchise, both in the immediate short term and the long term. We'll get to all that today, as we always like to rehash a little bit about the prior week's game. You know, last week when they lost to Carolina, if you heard the show following that game, that was when I kind of had, as I said, my now annual existential crisis as a Bucks fan. So for those of you that didn't have that happen yet after the Carolina game, it probably puts you over the top this week with the Bucks 16-3 loss to the Redskins, which, believe me, we will not rehash on this show today. There's no need to. But we will get to trying to figure out just what the hell this organization is doing and what we think it should be doing. So I want to thank you for joining me. I want to thank Bill Curry Ford, as always, for sponsoring us and making things great for you guys if you're in the market for a vehicle. If you go check out Bill Curry, Tampa's first family of Ford, they're proud to announce a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles, including unlimited years, unlimited miles, and 10-year roadside assistance, and 1-year complimentary service if you go down there and check it out. So there's two things you can do. You can go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. See Sean Sullivan in person if you want to go there in person. He's the new general manager at Bill Curry Ford, and he will set you up with a Joe Bucks Fan discount. So if you mention Joe Bucks Fan, if you mention Bobby Fenton, me, you know, if you mention the free stretch, whatever it is, he'll take care of you. And that's on top of the already transparent online pricing. You know, what I always like, because I'm not a haggler, is I like to just go tell me what the price is. Put a big board up there if you want to. If you go to the website, the prices are all there for what you're looking at. But you get the discount on top of that. Bill Curry Ford has proudly served the Tampa community for 58 years. Like I said, check the website out, BillCurryFord.com, or go in person about a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway and just go meet Sean and everybody else over there. They've taken good care of me in the past, and they will take good care of you as well. So what I'm hoping is that the Glazers will take good care of this franchise. And so we've been round and round and round and round and round at this point. And I still want to know why Jameis Winston isn't playing quarterback. So Ryan Fitzpatrick goes out there against the Redskins, and he wasn't terrible passing the ball. I mean, big numbers, 500 yards of offense, but turnovers. Kind of the same thing we've been talking about with Jameis. So the Bucks lose a game in which they're the first team in the Super Bowl era to have that many yards and still only score 3 points. Here we are again. I don't really care about the Redskins game at this point. I know a lot of you guys, I was going back and forth on Twitter with some people during the game when I kept saying, I'm not one of those people that can't wait to tell you why this doesn't matter and you shouldn't care. If you're watching and rooting for the Bucks, that's great. You should be. We're all Bucks fans. But I forget how it came up. It came up some way on the show, or during the game, I mean. You guys are stressing over nothing. Let's not worry about this too much. It's not that important. No, man, they win this game. They can go 6-5. They got the Giants and 49ers afterward. You never know, man. You need to stop being such a downer. This matters. It always matters. They need to get it done here today. So, anyway, okay, by about midway through the second half, those people started to come around to my way of thinking, okay, Bobby, yeah, now 2018's out the window, which it already was. And probably the worst thing that could have happened was Chandler Catanzaro making that 59-yard field goal against the Browns and us getting to 3-3, and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, here we go. All right, see? Lost a couple games there, a little bump in the road, but we're fine now. They were never fine. I still have no idea how the NFL works. And I guess that's part of what makes it entertaining, because I'm looking at the Saints and how they're just steamrolling people. Good teams, bad teams, doesn't matter. You put them in front of the Saints, and the Saints will beat the ever-living hell out of them. And I'm watching these guys, and I'm thinking, how did the Bucs just kick their ass in week one at the Dome? Like, how could it? I mean, I don't understand. Like, I don't understand. The Eagles game even has, you know, the Eagles aren't great right now. A little more of an explanation there. But I have no idea how that, I don't know how the NFL works. Okay, I'll say it right here. And neither do you, and neither do the people in the NFL. But when the Bucs got off to that start, it's amazing. It's amazing every year how much we talk about what we think we know and how it's almost always proven wrong. Both sides, by the way, because before the season start, remember the whole narrative then was that, hey, no way we're going anything but 0-3, maybe 1-2 in those first three games. No way. And I said, no, they can do it. I think they did. They went 2-1. But then they still ended up being horrible. Like, that's the funniest part. They proved everybody wrong who said, oh, Jameis is out. We can't do this. We got the three toughest games on our schedule in the first three. There's no way it's going to work. And the Bucs went out and proved everybody wrong and won two of those games and almost went 3-0 and yet have since been proving everybody right that said that in the first place, that they couldn't do it. Except the people that said they couldn't do it then switched to the other side after the first three games and said, yeah, all right, we can do it. But no, you were right the first time. Even though they won two out of the first three, y'all were right the first time that said, no, they can't do that because they can't. They're not. So here we go after the game ends against Washington and they lose 16-3. And Dirk Koetter gets up there and he's just beaten down. And again, I'm not faulting Koetter for any of this as far as what he's trying to do to save his job because he can't say, oh, yeah, I'm definitely fired. So what do you guys want me to do till I'm fired? You want me to start this guy or that? He's going to coach desperately. He's going to coach to save his job. I get that. I really do. So he comes up after the game and says, you know, I don't know what happened, blah, blah, blah. You know, within a day, oh, yeah, Fitz is going to be the starter. And that's not changing, he added. And I call BS on that, by the way. I think it will change. Oh, man. It's just so disappointing. We did the whole show last week about how things need to change for the long term. And they're not changing right now. And I get Dirk Koetter, like I said, coaching for his job. I get Dirk Koetter thinking only about the 6 inches in front of his face right now, not going any further beyond that, and just trying to get through next week and win a football game. I get that. I don't get why he thinks Fitzpatrick gives him a better chance. That part I don't get. But he seems to think that, unless there's something else going on. Because here's what we know right now, okay? These are things we know about the Bucs franchise. These are things we know going forward. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is first of all 36 and second of all an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year and third of all probably on his last team, is not going to be the quarterback that leads the Bucs into the future. We know that. And by the way, I'm not mad at Fitzpatrick at all. I like him. All right, I don't think he was terrible the other day. Obviously, when you score 3 points, you didn't have a good day. I don't care what numbers you put up and the interceptions and all that. But I'm not going to say, oh, it's okay when Winston does it, and it's not okay when Fitz does it. It's not okay when either of them do it. But my only thing against Fitzpatrick this whole time has been that fact. He's not the guy that's going to lead us going forward. So that's one fact we know. The second fact we know. The Bucs are not going anywhere in 2018. We know that now. That's no longer probable. And I know mathematically they're not eliminated from anything, and I know they could still do something, but they're not going anywhere in 2018. So we know we've got a quarterback who's not part of our future, and we know we've got a team that isn't going anywhere this year. So both of those facts would lead you to believe, well, this other quarterback we have that's only 24... and who the Bucs have to make a big decision on coming up on this offseason, we should be gathering as much information about him as possible, shouldn't we? So maybe he should be playing. And yet he's not. Now, Dirk Koetter's the head coach, but he's not the boss. That goes all the way to the top. So I'm sitting here racking my brain this whole week. I'm trying to figure out. Like, I'm always trying to figure out. Now, you know, some people are really, really street smart, and they can read situations, and they can understand people's motivations, and they can predict things that are going to happen before they happen. Those people I have so much respect for, I've never been one of those people. You know, it takes me longer to process stuff. I'm not saying I'm dumb. I'm a smart guy, but I'm not one of those people that can just read the whole thing, and, oh, here's how it's going to play out. So I'm racking my brain. And I always try and put myself in other people's, you know, see it from their perspective. If I was Dirk Cutter, what would I do? I would try to just win every single game from here on in. Every week, I would just worry about that week's game and nothing else. That's what I'd do if I was him. So let's put ourselves behind his eyeballs and see the world through his eyes. You know, I wouldn't believe all the hype about the firing. I might secretly know I'm going to get fired. I might tell my wife at the dinner table, you know, honey, we need to plan on something happening here. But publicly, I wouldn't show any weakness. I would take responsibility for mistakes, and I would move forward to the next game if I was Dirk Cutter. And that's what he's doing. I would not start Ryan Fitzpatrick. I would start Jameis Winston. That's the one thing that kind of throws this off for me. So I'm looking at that. Then I'm looking at if I was the Glazers, and what would I be doing right now? And again, I wouldn't say anything about my head coach. I wouldn't say anything publicly at all if I was the Glazers. If you were the Glazers right now, what would you be doing? I'd be doing a few things. One, and I'm sure they've already done, I mean, I would do this all the time, even when I was happy with my head coach, but I would always have my eye on who are the candidates to be my head coach in the event that my current head coach isn't the head coach anymore. Always. I mean, that's, again, if you're the owner of a team or if you're at a college, if you're the athletic director, you've always got a list, even when things are going well, even in boom times because guys leave or something happens. So I would have that list. I'd be looking at that. Number two, I would be telling my head coach, since I am the boss, I would be saying, look, you need to start Jameis Winston. We want to figure out what we're going to do here. Now we've got, you know, it started out as 13 games. Now it's down to, what do they have left? 7 games left. I want that data. I want to know what to do with this $20 million thing in the spring. Figure out how we're going to do this, if we're moving forward or not. That's what I would do. Or, if my mind was working the other way and I had already made up my mind on Winston, I'd tell Dirk Cutter to do what he's already doing. And that's the mind freak here right now. Because every indication seems to point to the Glazers having made up their minds and are ready to move on once the season's over. And in the meantime, don't play Winston because he might get hurt. But that doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know people have said that. That doesn't make any sense to me. If you just outright deactivated him, maybe, but there, he's still the number two quarterback. He still comes into a game if Fitzpatrick gets hurt. Number one, number two, you can't run a franchise trying to save a few bucks. I know $20 million's not a few bucks, okay? But they throw money around like it's nothing. The amounts of money these guys deal with that passes through their hands on a daily basis, you know, sitting a 24-year-old quarterback who could still potentially be your quarterback just on the very slim chance that he gets hurt seriously enough to trigger a contract bonus. I mean, it's not like, oh, we're putting this huge risk out there. If he has like a season, like a career-threatening type injury is the type of injury we're talking about. Not if he sprains an ankle or something like that. You know, if something like that happens, it wouldn't trigger the money. It's not a huge chance. It's not a very high percentage thing that it would happen that, oh, if we play him, he could get hurt. It's too valuable on the other end, the information you could be getting. So I don't get it. I honestly don't get what's happening right now, because besides Cutter, everybody can see we need to be planning on 2019, 2020, 2021, and beyond. And the ease with which I've had so many people, and you can email me if you want to, and you can chime in. I love getting your emails. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is my email address, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. On Twitter, @BobbyGameDay, if you want to communicate with me that way. But I keep telling, I had a softball game last night. We went to a little place after the game for a pitcher. I'm not really a beer drinker, but I just went with the guys for fellowship. And they always ask, oh, Bobby, I love your podcast. You know, my friends listen to the podcast. That might account for, you know, half the listenership. I'm not sure. But the point is that they all have their opinions, just like you all have your opinions. And I can't believe how often I find myself trying to convince people, like, hey, like, we really need to be playing Winston, right? Like, I feel like I'm crazy. I feel like I'm in some movie where I'm the sane one, but everybody else around me thinks I'm nuts and they're going to commit me to an asylum, even though I'm perfectly sane. And they're like, nah, well, you know, Winston, whatever. They're moving on from it. He's 24. Like, he's 24 years old. And when people with such confidence and such self-assuredness say, oh, yeah, we've made up our mind. I've made up my mind on him. He's not the one. You can't rely on him. Too many turnovers. And again, that's not wrong about the turnovers, but he's 24. And you've got your mind made up? That's crazy. So then I look around the landscape of everything. Because you need a quarterback, right? Like, every team needs a quarterback. If you want to have any hope of doing anything, you need to have a quarterback and develop him if he isn't already developed. That's the, I mean, that's what every, that's 32 teams trying to do that. So if Winston's not your guy, what's your plan? Because in the draft coming up, there ain't no quarterbacks, all right? This guy, Justin Herbert, might be something, but he's probably going to stay another year, as he should, at Oregon. And besides him, and we Drew Lock, I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, Drew Lock could be good, but he's just one, I mean, he's one guy. Oh, what about free agent? Okay, you got Teddy Bridgewater. Here's the quarterbacks available, and again, there's 32 teams, and probably 7 or 8 of them have that guy, and the other ones, the other 20 to 24 of them are trying to figure out if they have or how they can get that guy. So, here's who's available on the entire list, both coming out of college and free agent. Drew Lock is one. Teddy Bridgewater is another one. Free agent. Could be had. Or I don't know if he's a free agent, but he could be had. The Saints will, because, you know, unless Drew Brees is retiring, and I don't think he is, Bridgewater's ready to go play somewhere. Tyrod Taylor. Fitz himself is a UFA coming up. Josh McCown, Sam Bradford. Do I need to go on? Jameis Winston, of all the people that are available to play quarterback, has the best chance, in my opinion, to be a franchise quarterback going forward, even knowing what we know now. Never mind that we should have been learning more all this time, the past couple weeks and the next 7 games going forward. So, I feel like it's malpractice. I feel like, unless the Glazers are one of those people that have made up their minds as well, I talk about them as one entity. I know it's two brothers and then a third one who designed terrible uniforms. But anyway, the point is, if they made up their minds, fine. I don't agree with it, but that would at least explain what's going on. Because there's no other explanation. And $20 million, again, it's not my money. I know it's easy for me to say. But $20 million ain't the reason not to play Jameis right now. Or should I even say, the very slim chances of losing $20 million aren't the reason. Okay? So, where all this comes in, what I'm getting at, if I was the Glazers right now, and this really mattered to me, I know they don't fire people mid-season, but I heard Justin talking about this on his podcast, which I enjoyed very much. You know, maybe you have to fire Dirk Koetter in the middle of the season. Because again, he's acting in a way, which he should be, I don't blame him, but I mean, his interests and the franchise interests are not aligned right now. He can't admit it, or he can't say it out loud, but we need people who are acting in the best interest of the franchise, and in my opinion, every moment that Jameis Winston is not playing when he could be is acting against the best interests of the franchise. And I don't think that's where we need to be right now. So maybe he needs to be relieved of the opportunity. Maybe I'm saying this in a way, again, I don't dislike Dirk Koetter. I feel bad that this is all happening, and I'm not taking pleasure in this, but he's in a position, he's in an awkward position, basically. As the head coach of the team, he's going to try and win. He thinks the way to do that is Fitzpatrick. In reality, it doesn't really matter that much if we win or not. We need to be thinking down the road, which he's not going to do, because he'd probably get fired before that. So it's just an awkward spot to be in. But when I look at this roster up and down, I mean, again, there's a handful of guys. It's not all bad. And you look at the Bears, for example. I mean, teams fire their coaches and turn it around with the right hire pretty quickly. I mean, Matt Nagy's doing a great job with them after they were nowhere. And they've got themselves on top of the NFC North. The Rams, I mean, McVay's been there a couple years now, but they were nowhere, brought him in. It's turning around. The Bucs do have a pretty favorable numbers situation going forward. And it could be even more favorable without DeSean Jackson, or if they do decide not to have Winston, then they'd be even more money. Bill Barnwell actually wrote an article on ESPN this week about the 10, and this is only possibilities, but the 10 jobs that could come open in the NFL coming up, and he ranked them 1 through 10 as far as like the best situation for an incoming head coach. The Bucs ranked 9th of 10, only the Cardinals job ranked worse. But here's what Barnwell had to say on ESPN about the Bucs. Biggest strength, cap flexibility. Biggest weakness, QB situation. Barring a miracle, and I'm quoting now, the Buccaneers will miss the playoffs for the 11th consecutive season since firing John Gruden after the 2008 campaign. Even worse, what looked like a team that might be on the upswing after basically playing its second half to a draw last season. The Bucs went 3-5, but with a point differential of only -7 over 8 games. Now it looks to be significantly in worse shape than it was a year ago. He goes on about Jameis Winston. He says the Bucs seem set on sitting Winston before releasing him this offseason to avoid his fifth-year option in 2019. Yeah, it does seem that way, which is weird to me because I don't know who else they think is going to play quarterback as well as him, and I mean that including the goddamn interceptions, which I think you can cut out. The Bucs do have a core of young talent, wideout Mike Evans, tight end O.J. Howard, guard Ali Marpet, McCoy, Levante, he lists a few names. But their defense remains a failure in progress. Tampa's defense, while it has technically improved from 32nd in DVOA to 31st, is actually lower as far as their DVOA percentage than last year's. There's just one team that's even worse than that this year. That's why they're 31st. He goes on, the secondary has been a disaster for years. But unlike seasons past, Brent Grimes and company can't blame their woes on an absent pass rush. Yeah, JPP's been good, but the pass rush as a whole hasn't been that great, in my opinion. The Glazer family might be distracted by Jose Mourinho's season-long temper tantrum at Manchester United, but the Bucs are likely going to fire Dirk Cutter and GM Jason Light. Whoever comes in will inherit a clean cap, as the Bucs have consistently structured their veteran deals to avoid significant signing bonuses. Tampa is projected to have $15 million in cap space next year, but that could easily approach $47 million by releasing Winston and DeSean Jackson without incurring any dead money. He goes on to list a few, you know, the way we played tag back and forth with defensive-minded head coaches that were rigid and, you know, that a couple players' head coaches on back and forth. He says, history suggests the Bucs will be looking for a defensive mind. That's good because Tampa Bay needs help in finally fixing its defense. But the Bucs also have a black hole at quarterback and nobody to develop a passer. Can a team hire two head coaches? And if it can, why would either of them want to work with the perennially disappointing Buccaneers? This is going to be a tough sell. Okay. I don't think that's necessarily the case, by the way. There's 32 head coaches, 32 jobs. There's a lot of guys that want to be head coaches. And yeah, there could be as many as 10. I mean, who knows? This is just 10 speculative openings. I mean, Hugh Jackson's been fired by the Browns. But other than that, I mean, some of these jobs may not even come open. But I think it should be not too difficult to find people who want to be the head coach of the team. The question is, is it the right people? And I see names like, obviously, John Harbaugh still coaches the Ravens, but there's signs that he may be about to go. They missed the playoffs 4 years in a row. Before that, though, 2012 Super Bowl, playoffs 6 out of 7 years. Harbaugh, even still with the last 4 years, is 98-69 as a head coach. I'd be interested. Bruce Arians, we've talked about on this show. John DeFilippo, Vikings offensive coordinator, but he was with Philly, quarterbacks coach, Carson Wentz, all that stuff when he made his breakout year. There's names. I mean, we can talk about that later in the season. Right now, though, when I look at this team and I look at what needs to be done, to me the most pressing issue is the quarterback and figuring out what you're going to do with that. And it seems to be the one we're not that interested in figuring out unless we think we've already figured it out. And if we do think that, I don't know where they're going next. But I know this. I mean, if it was up to me, I said this in the beginning of the year, and I don't say it to compare Jameis Winston to Tom Brady because that's not what I'm doing. But just to show how young Jameis is. He's 24. Before this season started, Jameis Winston was the same age that Tom Brady was when Tom Brady had still yet to play in his first NFL game. Do you realize that? Like, just because Jameis is in his fourth year, I think we feel like he's older than he is. Because, fourth year, I mean, he is what he is at this point. maybe if he was 26, you could say that. But he's only 24. So I don't think he is what he is just yet. And I think people are foolish when they keep dismissing, oh, what else is there to figure out? We've already made up our mind on him. I think at this point we know everything we need to know. No, you don't. Fewer interceptions than Marino in his first 4 years, or, you know, Peyton Manning, all those guys. He's 24. And I'm not going to make him out to be a victim, because he screwed up so many things just since he's been here, let alone before he got here, that it's hard to make him a sympathetic figure. But the Bucks, in their typical ham-handed fashion, have really just... if you could come up with the worst possible way to handle your young quarterback... Now, obviously, he came up with the worst possible way to handle himself off the field. So, again, not making apologies. But you couldn't have messed it up any worse than this. All because Fitzpatrick played a couple decent games. And they were really good. They were really decent. Okay, I'm not saying they weren't. But, man, y'all drank that, oh, Fitzmagic Kool-Aid. And you were ready to sell Jameis up the river. And now you realize they ain't that different. Except one's 24 and maybe has a future. And Fitzpatrick at this point is on the, toward the end of his career, which is not his fault. It's just the way, you know, that's how old he is. So they play the Giants on Sunday. They say Fitzpatrick's, you know, not changing. He's the starter. Maybe they're right, but I have a feeling. And, you know, every given weekend it could go well or not go well. So he comes out this weekend, let's say we're beating the Giants and going up and down the field. Then it'll be back to normal for a while. But if it goes bad again... And I hate having to even watch this like it's a soap opera. And, you know, we have to monitor every series to see if they're going to make a change at quarterback. But if it goes bad again and they don't go to Jameis Winston, I guess then we'll know a lot more. As it is right now, though, I think it's crazy to have him sitting on the bench when you've got that decision coming up and you've got time to make it. You don't have to have it made right now, and you're not going to get all the information that you could possibly get going in. I mean, I think it's absolutely crazy. Also on Justin's podcast, I heard him talk about a team president that's come up before. And yeah, I feel like that'd be fine. I mean, we need somebody to basically be who the Glazers are right now. And the Glazers would just be the owners. Like, the Glazers write the checks. The Glazers are the money guys. I get. But we need somebody to actually run the operations aside from them, in my opinion. You know, whoever that would be, I completely agree with Justin when he says that. And... I just look at the structure of the organization and where we're at, and I mean, we've tried a lot of things. None of them have worked. That's one thing we haven't tried, and it's one thing that's worked well with other organizations. I don't know. We need someone who would come in and say, hey, I want to find out more about Jameis Winston. Why isn't he playing right now? We need someone to do that. So email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com, again, is my email address. On Twitter, @BobbyGameDay, if you want to catch me there. As far as looking... at what else is going around the NFL, I did want to mention one other thing having to do with the kickoffs, because there was an article written also on ESPN this week, and it was written by Kevin Seifert, and he talks about how the NFL's rule tweaks to the kickoff have saved it from extinction. So apparently in the offseason, and we talked about it during some of the offseason shows, how they wanted to make kickoffs safer and how people think they're trying to get rid of the kickoff altogether. Well, yeah, I mean, basically Troy Vincent, who's one of the NFL guys now, former player with the Eagles, you remember him, but he's one of the guys that was tasked with this with the NFL. They came up, you know, to some special teams guys and some coaches and people that, and said, you need to come up with some ways, come up with these rule tweaks, figure something out, because we're about to just completely slice off the kickoff if you can't come up with ways to make it safer. So what they did, if you remember... they eliminated wedge blocking, where everybody gets together in like the flying V. Can't do that anymore. That was employed on 78% of kickoff returns last season. It was completely eliminated. They got rid of the running start for the kicking team, where you get that big runway going before you cross the kicking line. On the receiving team side, they only had, remember, and you don't notice that. Like, I haven't noticed it watching the games. I barely even paid attention to it, because kickoffs are almost always touchbacks now. But they've made the... kick receiving team can only have three guys far back to receive. Everybody else, the other eight guys, has to be at least within 15 yards of what's called the restraining line, which is the line that's 10 yards from the kickoff spot, so that's the 45. And you can't get closer than that, but you can't get further back than that either, 15 yards behind that, so your own 40. And by doing these things, you know, there are numbers for all this stuff. In a November 6th memo, Seifert writes, to a group of special teams coaches, NFL Executive Vice President Troy Vincent wrote that the new kickoff rules have, quote, unquote, successfully addressed many of the league's concerns. The league will study final numbers in the offseason, Vincent wrote, but it is already planning to reconvene the group that redesigned the kickoff to, quote, begin discussing punt and punt return, which I didn't think there was much wrong with, but I guess I was wrong. But as far as the injuries, zero concussions, and kickoffs, or the reason they did this, the big injury spot was kickoffs, zero concussions reported during the preseason. And with the elimination of wedge blocks, there have been fewer injuries altogether. It says contact between blockers has transferred from high-speed collisions at the back end to slower-speed interactions closer to midfield. What I see is the makings of a safer play, says Ravens special teams coordinator Jerry Rosberg. He's one of the coaches that worked on the new rules. I see the risks going down. We've brought the speed of the close contact down. That was my hope going into this. I was also hopeful we'd have a more exciting play with more return opportunities, and I was not correct on that. Yeah, no, you weren't. The kickoffs are as bad as ever. And I don't want to see them eliminated, but they're at the point now where, yeah, I barely pay attention to them. But at least, as far as radical change goes, it looks like that's not happening in the at least near future because of the success of these rules in preventing injuries. And I suppose, even though it's boring to watch, I'm in no position to complain about fewer injuries. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We'll be back next week. The focus of this show, as you can imagine, and as all the shows probably have been doing, is going to shift more again to bigger picture stuff. You know, we can look at the individual games themselves a little bit, but honestly, and this is the most dispiriting part of all this, I talked about last week, it just doesn't matter that much now. Like, I want the Bucks to, you know, go out and beat the Giants this Sunday, but I'm not going to wake up Sunday morning, hey, Bucks Giants today. You know, it'll be on, I'll watch it. But the worst part of all this, and even if you miss the playoffs, if you're at least sniffing around it, you get these games. I used to love December so much as a kid. I mean, not as a young kid, because the Bucks were never involved then either, but from, like, you know, the mid to late 90s on through the 2000s, December was when it got decided. December was when things were happening. I used to love, I'd sit down with the newspaper spread out with the standings, checking out tiebreakers. Okay, here's the scenario. Bucks clinch if they do this. If they don't, they... Yeah, I love all that. Even if it doesn't come up your way by the time the season's over, it's fun just doing all those things. It absolutely sucks when you haven't even hit Thanksgiving yet and you don't even, the outcomes of the games aren't important to you. And yet it's been 11 consecutive years, mostly of that. There's been a couple seasons where they came close. You know, a couple years ago, 9-7, missed out on a tiebreaker to the Lions. What was it, 2010 with Raheem Morris and Josh Freeman when they were 10-6 and lost on a tiebreaker to the Packers, who won the Super Bowl. And the Packers would have never even been in the playoffs without that terrible offensive PI call against Kellen Winslow against the Lions that cost us the Week 17 game. I mean, or Week 16, I think it was. You know, those two times are the only times that they've had anything that even mattered past Thanksgiving in over a decade now. And I wish there was better news to report on that front this year, but of course there is not. Hopefully next week there'll be better news to report on how the franchise is approaching making sure this isn't the case for many more Decembers down the road. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford for putting us on the air and taking care of us. The Joes for literally putting me on the air and giving me the chance to be in front of all of you. I'm Bobby Fenton. That is the Week 11 edition of the Free Stretch. Have a great pre-Thanksgiving weekend. Be safe. Have some fun. Call up a buddy. Have them come over and watch the Bucks with you that way if you want to spice things up for an otherwise, you know, pretty dull affair between the Bucks and the Giants. And maybe it'll be fun. Maybe it'll be crazy. Maybe the Bucks will win like 48-45 or something. I don't know. But until then, take care of yourselves. I will talk to you next week. You better believe there'll be a podcast next week, even though it's Thanksgiving. I'll get something out there for you all to have for your long weekend. And in the meantime, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.